All right, let's do it. Today we're going to go to Shishi. The sixth reading, I mean, everything is a continuation here. So we talked about these dermal lesions. And for those joining us for the first time, you're going to have to go back to watch some of those old classes, right? Because one thing leads into the next. So we started off talking about tzaras, dermal lesions, which are only for appearance's sake. And usually we're talking about an extraordinary kind of whiteness, extreme whiteness, and different levels of whiteness. And then it has to be looked at. We have to see if it's tumah, if it's tahir. And the signs of tumah would be a white here. And then we talked about skin with inflammation or burn. We kind of passed over that. And we went to the next lesson, which was about the areas of the derma of the skin that are usually covered with hair. So for example, the head or the beard. And then we had a dispute, what exactly that means. Is it when hair falls out in and of itself, or is the hair falling out and a discoloration that takes place beneath it as well? And then the signs were different because instead of a little white hair, now it's this goldish green kind of hair. So in Shishi, in the sixth reading of Hazir, we're going to talk about, so what happens if there's a part of the head which is usually covered with hair and it goes bald? This is the real breaking baldness. So it goes bald. The question is, do we still see it as a part of the body that's covered with hair? So it has to be governed by the specific details of the head, which is usually covered with hair, or has something changed now? How do we deal with that? So that's what the focus is. Chapter 13, verse 40. The Torah now begins to talk about baldness in all seriousness. And here, very interestingly, unlike yesterday's lesson, which started out ish a isha, a man or a woman, here we emphasize the ish, and a man. Why do we say a man? It's a really good question. So the Ibn Ezra seems to indicate that baldness is more prevalent with men than it is with women. That's what he seems to indicate. It's more common. I never did the stats. I don't know about that, but that's what Ibn Ezra says. It must be so. And the interesting thing is that the Mor v'Shemesh maintains that baldness is a positive thing. He says it's a good sign, he says. It means a person. The language of the Torah is ve'ish ki yemarit reishei, a person when his head goes bald. So kereyachu, he's a kereyach. Toiru, he's pure. That indicates some kind of purity if you don't have hair. I got lots of hair, but whatever. So the emphasis is v'ish, but really and truly the same halacha would apply equally to a man and to a woman. And we're speaking here about an entire area, not just a small part of the head where a little bit of hair fell out. But Ramban says we're talking here about an enormous portion, like a whole part of the head which used to be covered with hair, which has no longer any hair. So this is a discussion of real baldness. And then, of course, is it a netek? Or is it a nega? How is it viewed? This becomes the question. So the Torah says, "Ve'ish ki yemarit reishei," a person when he loses his hair falls out. Kedechu, he's a kedech, and therefore toiru, he's pure. The Torah now says in verse 41, "Ve'im mipaas ponov yemarit reishei," and if the hair falls out from the front of his face, from the side of his head, from his temples. So gibechu, then he's a gibech. And once again, toirhu. Now from the fact that we say that the gibech lost his hair in the front, which would, I suppose, mean over here, the whole front area, that's what we call posterior baldness. Or is that exterior baldness? Whatever. I think it's posterior baldness, which is in the front. So front, but losing the hair in the front over here, that's called a gibech. We can understand that in verse 40, when it's called a kedech, the kereach is not talking about the hair in the front, but rather the hair in the back of the head, which is not as common. And even though in modern Hebrew we call that person a kereach, the person who's bald in the front, actually the Torah calls a kereach the person who's bald in the back, the exterior balding. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says on verse 40, we're talking about a person here, ki yemarit reishei, that his hair is falling out. Says Rashi, it doesn't mean that when we say toiru, that he's pure, that there's no tzaras in this part of the body whatsoever. That's it. Person's pure. You're bald, you're pure. You can't say that. And how do we know we can't say that? Well, we know we can't say that because in verse 41, we talk about the posterior, the exterior balding, but in verse 42, we say, V'chiyyeh b'karachas e'b'gabachas negalovan adam dam zaras parachasi. If you're going to see in a person with a karachas or a gabachas, which are the two descriptions of baldness, you'll see a negalovan, you'll see a white lesion, or if it's a damdim, if it's tinged with pink, zarasi, parachasi, it's an eruption. B'karachte e'b'gabachte, in the back baldness or front baldness. So obviously, you cannot say that this person is actually tahor. So Rashi says, what is the meaning of tahor then? Kereachu tahor. Says Rashi, tahor hu, he is pure mitumas nisokin. He's pure from the tumah of netek. What is netek? Netek is the terminology that's used for the hair falling out. According to Rashi, a different kind of lesion that has not little white hairs growing in them unnaturally, but rather little golden green stubble hairs growing in them. That's what a netek is. We talked about yesterday. Nega and netek. Nega is in the area of the skin which is exposed. Netek is in the area which is of the skin which is usually covered with hair. So Rashi says, toiru means, when the Torah says toiru, it means mitumas nesokin. It means from the ritual impurity of the netek. And that is to say, einoi she einoi niden b'simone roish v'zokin, that the telltale signs that we use for the head and the beard areas will no longer apply here, even though once upon a time this was a head and beard area. Ella b'simone negoi rabasar. Rather, we'll have to look at this person who is now bald as if that was a regular part of the skin. In other words, we had an area of the skin where tzaras had to be a netek if it would show up there. And now we say, since the hair is gone, so now that part of the body is no longer netek worthy, but instead it's nega worthy. Make sense? Okay. And how is that seen? That's the simone nega ur abasa, with the signs of the lesion, the dermal lesion, which is called tzaras, the regular tzaras, which is michia upishyein. The michia means that if there suddenly appears a little bit of a patch of healthy flesh within that white area, that's a problem. That's called a michia. Or pishyein means eruption, a continued spreading. Ve'imi pa'as pon of yimorit. What if it's posterior balding, front balding? So Rashi says, what does this mean, v'mipas panav? Mishipua kodkoid klape panav. This is from the point of the high point of his skull towards the front. So this is called karu gabachas. That's called gabachas. Va'af hatzedoin mikan u'mikan b'chal. The two sides are included as well. So we would say, like, it's the middle of your head would be the point. This is like the point of reference. So the gibachas then would be the person who experiences baldness on the front of his head. And Rashi says that would include also the hair on the side. So the hair on the side and the hair on the front, if you lose that hair, then you're called a gibachas. If you lose the hair from this point behind the back of your head, then in that case, you're called a karachas. Mishipua ve'afat zoi mashma. And now Rashi says, so from the high point of the head going back. So for this, kari karachas. For that you'd be called a karachas. And whether you're a karachas or a gabachas, whether your baldness is posterior or exterior, but if your bald area is an area where hair doesn't grow anymore, shampoo is not needed anymore, then in that case, you go back to using soap, so to speak. Right? Because it's not a hairy area anymore. So shampoo is made for a certain part of the body, and soap is made for the other part of the body. Yep. And over here, where there's no longer any hair, you go back to using soap, which means nega or netek. It's nega or netek. And what kind of tzaras is it? So this we take a look in verse 43, as we started speaking, verse 42. Now we know what a karachas or a gabachas is, the posterior exterior balding. So we say if there is nega lovon, if there is a nega, not a netek, a nega, a lesion, that's white, or if it's a damdem, or if it's tinged with some kind of red streak or pink. So then tzaras, parachasi, it's an eruption of tzaras in his karachte, in his gabachte. And what does he do? Well, verse 43, the Kohen has to check him out. And he says, V'hine se'eis hanega. Yep, this nega is the real deal. It's levona, it's white. It's adam demes. It's got streaked with some red in there. It's b'karachte, b'givachte. It's kemar etzaras, Oir Basar. It's like the image of the Tzaras, not the image of the Tzaras we talked about yesterday, not the Netek, but rather the Nega, not the area which is covered with hair, and then the hair falls out, but rather regular skin. Once you go bald, you go bald. That's it. What happens if you go to a fancy doctor who grows your hair back?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. First of all, does your hair really grow back? But if your hair grows back, okay, then your hair grows back. It's another story. Then the halacha would revert the other way. So I want to emphasize this business of the kirecha gibeach. How do we know that he's toher, he's purified of the netek form of tzaras, but he could still be dealing with the nega form of tzaras? How do we know this? That's a matter of fact, he doesn't have any hair. But maybe you would say if somebody doesn't have any hair, uh-huh, Great, you're scot-free now. Right. Nothing can bother you now.
So
maybe it's one of the virtues of boldness.
Right.
Nothing personal. I mean, the Ma'ariv HaShemesh seems to think being bold is great. He says, oh, it's a great sign. It's a sign of a wonderful thing, he says, you know. We see a number of times that people had to get it holy, had to get the hair removed, the Levium had to get all the hair shaved, that's going to Levi. It's great. Guy's bald. Maybe he's just Torahu. And actually, the Ma'ariv HaShemesh reads into that. He says, Torahu, he's Tor. It's interesting. The Rabbeim were all bald. So the Rebbe Rasha was bald. He was like 20 or something.
Whoa.
He said, the Horizim Arizgi Krochim from Kop, from learning Tanya. So if I'm trying to understand Tanya, his hair fell out. The Rebbe was totally bald in his 20. Totally.
Wow.
So let's take a look here now. We'll look in the Birei Chumash. The Rebbe is going to tell us something very, very interesting about this business of knowing that the kirech or gibech is toher. So we have what Rashi says. Rashi's comment is found on verse 40. Right away he says, "V'im yimoret reishai, if the hair will fall out, kirechu is a kirech, toheru." And Rashi explained, what does toheru mean? Toheru means that he's toher from tumas nesokin, but he's tamei with tumas nega. No more netek, going back to nega. The Medrash Halacha that accompanies the book of Vayikra, the Safra, over there brings down this Halacha also. But in the Teiras Koyanim, page Kuf Tzadik, Sim Yud Gimel, in the Teiras Koyanim, in the Medrash Halacha, Nilmedes Halacha Zu, we learn this Halacha. Namely, Shahatara Shebekosov, that the purity alluded to in verse 40, Misyacheses Latumas Nesokim Bilvad, is referring to the Tuma of the Netek, which we talked about over the last few verses, which is found in the fifth reading of Parshat Zriya. And now we're going into the sixth reading. So everything we talked about in the fifth reading, namely the Tumah of Netek, Toiru, you're exempt, you're cleansed from that. But not cleansed entirely from Tzaras. V'lei metugas nigi areish, not from the idea of Nega. Nega still applies. Netek doesn't apply. So the Teres Kainim learns that mi pasuk haba, from the next pasuk, from verse 42. Because in verse 42 it says, "V'chayiyah bekarachas gabachas nega lovin adamdeim," and then this person who lost his hair, posterior exterior, and he's got no hair in that part of his body, so that shiny bald head, yes, it too can become tamei, not with netek, but with nega. Where does the Teres Kainim learn that halacha from? From verse 42. Why does he learn it from verse 42? Because that's what it says. Because it says it in verse 42. It says, "V'chiyah b'karachas negabachas negalovan." If he'll have a karachas negabachas and negalo, tzoras parachas. It's an eruption of tzoras. Okay, that actually makes sense. But in Rashi's words, it seems that he learns this not from verse 42, but it seems that Rashi knows this from verse 40. Because Rashi's commentary was on verse 40. He says, "V'ish ki yimoret reishai kereachu toiru." So Rashi transcribed the words, "Kereachu toiru." And Rashi said, "Ah, kereachu toiru. What does this mean? Kereachu is a kereach. Toiru is pure." Rashi said, "Kereachu toiru means toiru mitumas nesokin." So Rashi learns or understands it from verse 40, not from verse 42. But the Teres Kainim explains it in verse 42. So this is Deirish Bir. This requires some explanation. How did Rashi know it in verse 40? You say, well, he looked ahead and read to verse 42. Okay. So then he should comment in verse 42. It doesn't require that much genius. Understood. So that in verse 42, you should read verse 40 and it says Torah, and you're saying, Torah, that's interesting. I wonder what that means. Well, keep reading. Then you read to verse 41. Same thing, Torah. Verse 42, Tamei. Okay, got it. Finished. Why did Rashi have to preempt this and tell it to us in verse 40? By the way, when it says Torah, it's not really Torah. It seems as if Rashi is not only telling us what Torah means, but he's actually telling us where he gets it from. Because Rashi usually will transcribe words that are challenging or difficult. So if the word presents a problem, or if the syntax is kind of strange, I say, hey, what's going on here? I know you have a question. Okay, relax. Here is the answer to your question. In verse 40, there seems to have been no question. It's a matter of fact. Torah. What does it mean, Torah? All right, I don't know. I'm going to keep reading. They tell a story. There's a Mishnah that says, Shor shenogeh chasapara, an ox who gores a cow. V'nimtza ubro betzida. And then, when they find this cow, this injured cow, they find that it's prematurely gone into labor and it lost its little calf. So the little calf is there. So they said, there's two people learning the Mishnah. So Shor shenogeh chasapara, an ox that gored a cow. They said, why is it an ox that gored a cow? Why not an ox that gored an ox? So they sat for 2 hours discussing why it might say a cow that gored an ox instead of an ox that gored a cow. And then they read the next line in the Mishnah. V'nimsa ubru b'tzida. And its offspring was next to it. And since oxen have no offspring, that's the reason that it had to be an ox that gored a cow. So sometimes it just pays to keep reading. Wait till the end. You can't read a sentence and flip out. Keep reading. You keep reading, you get your answer. But Rashi seemed to have very little faith that you and I would keep reading. He was afraid we would read verse 40 and say, what? Torah, I can't believe this. What's going on over here? Rashi, relax. Torah doesn't mean Torah. Torah means Torah. It doesn't mean that he's pure of tzas altogether. It just means he's pure of the netek, not the negative. Guys, come on. Why couldn't Rashi just wait till verse 42 and say, you see? If there'll be a lesion that's white, then it'll be a damdam, and if it'll be tinge of pink, or have streaks of red, tzaras parachas, then it's an eruption of tzaras. All right. But Rashi preempts this right away in verse 40. And the Rebbe believed that this indicates that Rashi actually could learn it from verse 40, that he already knew it from verse 40. And the question is, how did Rashi know that? Now, there are those, in fairness, who do not see this as a question. There are those who say, Rashi knows it from verse 42. He's just commenting. He's explaining. You might think Torah, who means Torah altogether. So he says, no. You're Torah from Netek, not Torah from Nega. Rashi's just explaining. He's just giving you the sneak preview. But the Rebbe maintains that Rashi was very precise. And if it would say something later on, and it's relevant later on, then you get to it later on. And in fact, that's what the Teres Koyanim does. The Teres Koyanim's comment is on verse 42, not on verse 40. So the Rebbe wants to suggest that Rashi himself is explaining this in verse 40 because Rashi actually believed it could be understood or derived from verse 40. How? It just says Torah. It doesn't say of what. The Rebbe says, okay. One of the ways we have to learn Rashi right, is not only to look at what he comments or explains, but also to look at what he transcribes. Rashi, when he wrote his commentary, he would transcribe words of the Pasuk. And the words of the Pasuk, those are the words he would explain. Sometimes Rashi is explaining an entire verse, because the syntax requires elucidation. He'll maybe start transcribing the Pasuk, and he'll say Vigoymer, which is the equivalent of the English etc. And then when he says etc., that means that Rashi is not going to transcribe the whole verse for you. He says, this verse that says, that reads such and such, etc., and you know that what he's talking about is not only on those words that he's transcribing, but etc., on the whole verse. And if Rashi is not going to comment on a particular part of the verse, he doesn't transcribe that. He transcribes the word he's going to explain. Now here's the interesting thing. If you look into Rashi, you'll see what did he transcribe here. He explained the words tohar hu. He is pure. That's what he explained. He says, what does Tohar Hu mean? Tohar Hu means Tohar Mitumas Nisaken. It means Tohar of the Netek form of impurity but not tahir of the nega form of impurity. Then why did Rashi transcribe the words kerechu? He's not explaining, it seems, kerechu. Kerechu means he's baldy. So these words seem entirely superfluous and unnecessary. And why does Rashi transcribe it? We have to say that the words kerechu, how and why is this person pure if this person is going to have what seems to be a netek lesion? How and why is he pure? We just learned previously that if there's a netek kind of impurity on the head, he's impure. He said, no, toiru. And I'm asking why. Why? A couple of verses ago that was bad, and now it's okay? What's the answer? The answer is there's been a change of status. What's the change of status? Kereachu. Kereachu. He is a kereach. It's not just a change where you say, oh, there's no hair here. He is now a baldy. Baldy is a change. Something's changed. It's a status change. When you say to somebody, oh, they're bald, it doesn't mean they're missing hair in a certain part of the head. They are bald. It changes the person. He is a kereach. Because he is a kereach, different halachas apply now. So in other words, Rashi understood from the fact that the Torah says, kereach hu, he is bald. It could say, ishki imar tereshe, a person when his hair falls out. Okay, a person when his hair falls out, toiru, he's toir. What did you give a title for? You have to rub it in that he's bald? The ishki imar tereshe, kereach hu. Really? What, he's getting diagnosed with baldness? The guy walked into the doctor, he had no hair. Doctor looked at him and says, you are bald. He said, thank you. What would I do without the experts? I mean, like, if you wouldn't tell me I'm bald, I might think I have a head full of hair. Really, why did the Torah say that? If you think about it, it's like, ish ki mar d'reisha, hair falls out. Diagnosis, you're bald. Kerechu. Rashi says, those words are actually superfluous. So therefore, the words kerechu are coming to teach us something. What could they be coming to teach us? They're coming to teach us that this person's status has changed. That which is usually going to be a nega, no longer applies there. Why? Because kerechu. Conversely, this is Rashi's perspective from Pshuto Shel Mikra, from learning the pshat of the words. Of the words kerechu, that requires elucidation. The pshat requires some kind of explanation. But the Rebbe says from the Teres Kerenin's perspective, which does not look at explaining the verse, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, how you read it. The Teres Kerenin is obsessed with one thing and one thing only. What's that? The halachas. So the Teres Kerenin says, halacha. What's the halacha? The halacha is tzaras, parachas. It's an eruption of tzaras. Okay, fine. So when we get to verse 42, we hear halacha. That's an eruption of tzaras. We say it's an eruption of tzaras. It says, v'im yimare tereshei, if it's here, ki yimare tereshei, kereachu. What is the kereachu? Whatever. That's the Teres Kerenin is not concerned with that. The Teres Kerenin is medrash halacha, not medrash pshat. But Rashi deals with pshat. If it says kereachu, there's got to be a reason for that too. That also has meaning. And so we could see how every single word in the Torah is precise, every word is exact. Not only does the Torah convey to us the actual halacha, the Torah is also conveying to us the jurisprudence behind the halacha. Why did the halacha change? Because kerechu. Because the person's experienced a change. And I'm not sure what you can learn from this, but you can learn how profound Torah is and how if you study Torah, not read it, every single nuance has a message for us. Things can change.
But I want to ask you something. We talk about tzaras on the arm, on the body, on the beard, on the head. Are these for different avairas? Like yesterday we spoke about...
The answer to your question, are they for different... Is there a difference between head tzaras? So yesterday, actually, we learned that it does seem different. Right. One is for, according to Rashi, bad speech, and the other is for arrogance. Right. And according to Rambam, one is for interpersonal breakdown, and one is for atheism.
Right. So we spoke yesterday about the beard. Now, if a person does undergo change, right? Is he a Bolchuva? Is he... Sorry for his sins?
You mean if he's no longer capable of having nisokim because he has no hair left?
Right. You said,
like I said, there's a great Polish Hasidic rabbi called the Merv Shemesh. He thought it was a really good sign if you go bald. he was convinced this is really cool. That's a good sign. Maybe that the whole idea of arrogance is no longer possible for you. You have no hair. I don't know. That's already it's already conjecturing. I don't know.
It's interesting because Taras is something that a person undergoes because they've done a violence.
Principally speaking, Taras is something that happens to a person because he or she is falling short and Hashem is trying to pull him in. Bring him back home. All right.